Welcome to the third session in our series on entertainment. Now, our speaker today, I'm very pleased to have with us Kate Elliott. Now, you call yourself Kate or Kate Louise?
Well, there's a story behind that.
She doesn't need a microphone.
But I've only got 50 minutes, so you can call me Kate.
Okay, well, for the sake of brevity, Kate is... Kate is General Manager and Artistic Director at Centrepoint. Very interesting person. Let's see, she's a graduate of Toi Whakaara in New Zealand Drama School. Began as an actor at Centrepoint in 1998, Artistic Director at Centrepoint from 2008 to 2012, after which she was with the Auckland Council for 4 years, Production Manager, Arts and Culture, for 3 years, and then Mangere Arts Centre Theatre Manager for another year. After which, she was General Manager, Creative Capital Arts Trust in Wellington, and then General Manager, Artistic Director, Centrepoint Theatre full-time from August 2017 until the present. And at Centrepoint, she's directed, managed, and acted in more than 30 stage productions. So, very experienced and travelled around. And there's a few other things you've done, including television credits, Shortland Street, Outrageous Fortune, Varna. And there's some other events that you've overseen as well in various places. I won't list them all, but certainly very active in the arts scene. And as I found when I was talking to her before this session, there's a lot that Centrepoint does above and beyond just putting on the plays that we go and see. And I won't elaborate on those because you're the expert on that, and I'll leave it to you. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm a bit nervous. Normally I've got a script and I've rehearsed it.
Yes.
And actually I did do quite a few notes a few days ago and I was very excited and I was thinking, oh, I'm good. This is good. This is going to be really interesting. Whose phone is that? And then I went to find the notes this morning and I hadn't saved them.
Oh.
Yeah, a rookie mistake. 51. Useless. So I've redone what I think I had researched. Mind you, I do kind of eat, breathe and sleep Centrepoint Theatre, so I can talk about it till the cows come home. A little bit about me, which I always find a bit nauseous when you talk about myself. I grew up in the Wairarapa in Featherston. My dad was a vet over there, so back in those days we didn't really, he didn't charge a lot of money for things. We got animals, so we ate a lot of bacon and had a lot of eggs and had a lot of other animals that he'd found on his way home. We moved to Lower Hutt and I went to Huttville High School. And I was heavily involved in all the music department there because my mother was the music department HOD. So we had to, really. I was in the choirs, in the orchestra, I played the violin, badly, second violin, and I was the one that was sitting down like this while everybody else was really lovely. My bow was going a completely different direction to anybody else's. It was probably my way of going, well, if you want me in this, I'll do it my way. I played netball for the Huttville High School A team and the Lower Hutt Reps. I wasn't particularly good, but I was scrappy. And, yeah, I was let out for good behaviour to play netball from the music department, really. Then I went to Teachers College, where I was a terrible primary school teacher. Fun. But the kids didn't learn much. maths and me don't go very well together. So I used to find the maths teacher in the school and say, hey, how about we swap? I'll take your kids for drama and music and you take mine for maths. And usually that worked really well until one time a teacher said, no, I like doing music and drama and I had to teach maths. It was terrible. Those poor kids. I left teaching and went to drama school, much to my parents' dismay. They were always thinking, you know, there's no job in the arts. There's no career in the arts. We're going to be looking after her till she's 60. Which is kind of true. When I graduated from drama school, Toi Whakaari, New Zealand Drama School, I immediately was offered a job at Centrepoint under Alison. I actually did my audition for drama school up here. Can't remember why I didn't do the one in Wellington, but I came up here, and so that was my first step on the stage at Centrepoint. And then I was offered a job for, I think, 4 months. So we used to back-to-back plays back then, so you'd rehearse during the day and you'd perform at night. And you'd think that would keep you busy enough to keep you out of trouble. Anyway, I ended up staying for 3 years under Alison, when we had sort of like a company back then. You all know Alison Quigan?
Yes.
So I was very fortunate to have her mentor me, really, and teach me all about the governance and management side of running the theatre. So I think she was succession planning back then, which was fantastic for me. So I did that, and then, yes, went away and did a few other things that Stuart mentioned, and then ended up coming back I keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's sort of the place that you do keep coming back. And we call it the Hotel California because you can never really leave. But you don't want to. We have actors coming in now saying, oh, it's so good to be home. And you sort of think, well, it would be really nice to have a much nicer home that wasn't leaking so much. But anyway, that's too much about me. Oh, I have a cat who's gorgeous. So, Centrepoint Theatre, do we know it?
Yes.
Have you been this year? Who's been this year? Fabulous. Really? That's fantastic. That's pretty much all of our audience. Last 2 years? 3? 4? Who's not been in the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah. But I went for years and years from 1970 onwards.
So. Okay, that's very good. It doesn't let you off, though. Sorry. Who were those people again? Just kidding. What stops you coming?
Oh, bad language.
Yeah, fair. What else? What stops you coming to the theatre?
What did that lady say?
Bad language.
Oh, yeah.
Bad planning.
I found that too.
Yeah, it can get grating, can't it?
Yeah, but
yeah.
It was too much.
Too much.
All the time.
Too much all the time.
I don't mind the odd one, but, you know.
It's got to be earned.
Yeah.
What else?
Planning on our part.
Planning on your part.
Mm-hmm. We keep saying we're going to buy the season ticket and be done with it, and that would make us get out of our bums and go with it.
And then you forget that you've got a season ticket.
Oh, no, we can pay money on it.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, I've got an EFTPOS machine in my bag, so I can sign you up.
Mind
just
you,
kidding.
With the deterioration of TV in the future, or now in the future, I might come along with maybe once a year or twice a year.
I like that. So this lady said with the deterioration of TV that's happening, and probably going to be worse in the future, that she might come along once or twice. Show times, do they bother you? The time of the show?
No. When's that?
So it's 7:30 or 4 o'clock on a Sunday. I find 7:30 sometimes, especially this time of year, I'm in my jammies by then. You know, I don't want to go out.
That's true.
Yeah. What if we put on a matinee, like a 2 o'clock on a weekday? Would that appeal?
No?
Yes? But if you're not working and you've got a 2 o'clock option?
Yeah.
Okay. Good thoughts. Thanks. Thanks for the advice. So, Centrepoint Theatre. In 1973, a man called Don Hampton got together with some of his mates and said, we need a theatre in Palmerston North. Now remember, in 1973, 1974, this is when theatres were starting to happen over the country. So Bat Theatre started in 1974. Theatre Corporate, which was Raymond Hawthorne's company, started in 1974. The Watershed in Auckland started in 1974. So that was a good time for theatre. It wasn't, you know, a lot of television. I mean, now I've got three televisions in my house and I live by myself. That cat is spoiled. So this group of people got together and said, we want our own theatre. So they formed a trust. They got some money from the QE2 Arts Council back then, $2,000 I think it was. And they started a theatre, and they started it on 81 George Street, in a place that was called the, it was an old musicians hall, and it was called the Boulevard on 81 George Street. Does anyone remember this?
What is it now?
Wow, pardon?
What is it now?
I think it's been bold since, and I think it's part of where the library is, would I be right, Grant?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's a coffee bar there now.
Oh, there's a coffee bar there now. Well, there was a bar in here, and they had, it was a theatre restaurant. And I've looked back at some of the menus, and I don't know how you people ate that. No, it was crazy. Cream of something, cheese soup and all sorts. But this place, like I said, it was an old musicians' hall, and that had been closed down for various misdemeanours, apparently, unquote. And the owner said, if you said to the trust, the Palmerston North Theatre Trust, which is Centrepoint, if you pay the money that's owing, you can have the place. You can go in there and rent it, lease it. So they paid it off, the trust had been formed, and they started here. And the first show was An Evening with Catherine Mansfield, starring Dame Pat Everson, who wasn't a dame at that point, yeah. And then there was a series of 14, I think, plays in the first year. And they kept doing lots and lots of plays all through the year. We only do five a year, or five or six, and I'll tell you why shortly. So, yes, it leaked, and the dressing rooms were down an alley and upstairs in an old flat. So people started to figure out where to come early so that they could get the seats that weren't going to be leaked on. That still happens now, just quietly. So they started to outgrow this place, obviously, and it was, you know, falling apart. It doesn't look that good then, does it? And so in the late 70s, the trust took over an old railway workshop that had also been a miniatures museum, and something else I can't remember, and that's the current home now on the corner of Pitt and Church Street.
A milk bar.
It was a milk bar. Oh, I hadn't heard that. Oh, good. I learn all the time. So the space is, obviously this one, this is where we are now, right? This has gone through quite a transformation even since taking over there, with the doors being put in out the front. I think the entrance used to be down here, which is now an office area. And, of course, with, you know, different regulations now with health and safety and whatnot, the place is starting to need... well, she's 50. She needs a facelift. And we need the roof to stop leaking. So... I think it was in the 80s they went to replace the roof, but what they did was they just put a new roof over the old roof. Smart. So often I get asked by people, can you put this show on, or why is this program how it is, or I'd love to see a classic, or I'd love to see more drama. Definitely I'd love to see more drama, and I'd love to see more than one woman shows or one man shows or things like that. So how do we program? This is the big question, and one I love to be able to explain to people, because it's hard. We have certain obligations with our funders. Creative New Zealand is our major funder, and then we have some money from the council. And then we have other sponsors that give the maximum of $15,000 a year. But out of that $15,000 comes about $6,000 worth of ticket allocations for them. So the actual cash flow isn't a heck of a lot at the end of the day.
our obligations to Creative New Zealand, we must do at least one New Zealand work. Well, that's kind of fun, actually, for us, because that's what our audience want to see. They like to see themselves on stage. They like to see people that they can go, oh, that's you. You do that, you know, or our stories. The other great thing about programming New Zealand work is that the rights are cheap. And I'm not having to negotiate with overseas people who want a really big deposit up front in America nor sterling. The other thing that they want us to do is what's called an open stage, which is where we involve the community. So we can, it's like pro-am, really. So you've got some professional actors and some community actors so that people get a chance to play on what they think is, you know, an illustrious stage. But I guess it's the name, isn't it? Māori and or Pacifica. We have to do at least one Māori and or Pacifica work each year. And we have to do something for young people. Now, this is Creative New Zealand's guidelines to the people that they fund in order for them to help us extend our audience. If they realise that that doesn't actually work all the time and is a huge risk to us, that would be helpful. So what do? We like to appeal to our audience. We tend to know what our audience want to see just by statistics, by going through all the plays that work, what's worked and why. We want to put on a drama. We want to bookend the year with popular shows that people will see so that we've got money coming in at the beginning of the year that's going to guide us through the rest of the year to the end when we can afford to shut down for the 4 weeks of January. Why do we shut down for 4 weeks of January? People leave here. I don't know if you have realised, but Palmerston North, I don't know why, but it's not a destination. And people tend to leave. So we've tried to be open over a January period, but nobody comes. And also, we need a break by that stage. Can we risk one? Can we do something that we really want to do, but people may not come to it? But we want to do it because it's good. But it may be something that's a bit risky. Can we risk that? These are all things that we think about. And can we commission somebody? So if we run out of shows that we can afford to do or that we know our audience like, can we afford to ask somebody to write one? The standard price to get somebody to write a play is $22,000. And then we have to know that we've got that draft 2 years out. Because if they say, yes, 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 we're going to write it, and we turn up to day one of rehearsals and it's rubbish, then we're in trouble. So there's a whole process around that. So what does a show cost? We have 136 seats that we can sell each night. When that finishes at the end of each night, that's all of the seats that weren't sold. If you liken it to a product on the shelves of the supermarket, that goes. We don't have that anymore. So every night, we've only got 136 seats that we can sell. There has been an argument of why don't we get a bigger theatre with more seats, but we like the intimacy of this place too. There's something special about that. You can still be spat on if you're sitting in the back row. By an actor. We play five nights a week, not seven. I did a show at Auckland Theatre Company last year, and they were seven, eight shows a week. I was knackered. But we play five nights a week because we're a small population, don't forget. So we're Wednesday to Sunday, but we have a cheap Tuesday. The average ticket price is about $30. Average ticket price in maybe Wellington is about $60. But we keep getting told, make it affordable. And of course, we will. We can have 2 nights to 4 week seasons, right? So a show can go for 4 weeks. They used to go for seven. But We can have a group coming in and we can have it for 2 nights or 4 weeks. Does that make sense? You with me? Cool. So that's a, if it's 4 weeks, if it's a 4 week season, that's a possible 2,720 available seats, which gives us a possible income of 81,600 if every single seat is sold on every single night of that 4 weeks. So we budget at 50%, which is a possible income of 40,800. Okay? Now, we rehearse for 4 weeks. So we're paying actors for 4 weeks rehearsal before we even go and start making this money. The average fee is about $1,200 a week for each actor. That's low. That's low. It should be $1,800, especially with all of the other costs involved nowadays. We put them up. We rent a house throughout the year. We've tried all sorts of different ways of accommodating people. Nobody wants to go and stay with somebody else for 4 weeks. You don't want somebody else staying with you for 4 weeks. I've had to do it. I don't like it. So we rent a house, a three-bedroom house, for the entire year, and that is, I think we pay $640 a week for that, and we use it 22 weeks of the year. So that's dead money for us. But we have to accommodate people because they're generally coming in from outside of Palmerston North. So average 4 week cast is about 4 people, okay? And the average fee of 4 person cast, $38,400. That's for your actors for a 4 week season and a 4 week rehearsal. And then, yeah, plus your ACOM, your production costs, your designers, then our costs are creeping up to about $80,000 plus per show. With the production costs, we recycle everything. We very rarely have to go and buy new flats or new panels or new anything. Draw the line at nails and screws, okay? We don't tend to reuse those. We did have an artistic director early on who made the set builders bang the nails flat so that we could use them again. That's a little bit much. But we do recycle everything. And what we've been starting to do now, because we've got a workshop in Snelson Street around the corner, and it's almost like it's become a bit of a set library. So other companies are coming in saying, oh, can we borrow this, 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 and this? They build their set with our set builder here, because you can't get a builder or a workshop space in Wellington or Auckland. Auckland Festival get their sets, or Auckland Theatre Company, sorry, and the festival get their sets made in Wellington and ship them up. And then they throw them out after every show. Same with the Court Theatre. I'm naming and shaming today. Yeah. I don't mean to. But it just seems like such a waste. We've got sets that I can be backstage at some time and go, oh, yeah, I remember that from 5 years ago, 7 years ago. I've stopped writing my name on them now. What have we got next? Yeah, okay, so how do we make all this work when the costs are so high? This is why we get to one-person shows, right? We can do buy-ins. We call it a buy-in. So there'll be another show that's happening somewhere else. So let's say Circa Theatre. The one that we're doing at the moment is prima facie, or is it prima facie? I don't know how you say it. Is there a lawyer in the house? Prima, it's prima? Prima facie. Sorry. So they produced that show themselves. So we've effectively bought it in. So we didn't have to do all of the set building and the rehearsal and all the design fees and all of that sort of thing. We've just bought it in. We've given them a company fee. We're paying their actor. We're putting them up. And if we get to a certain percentage of our ticket sales, we'll then split those profits. If we cover our costs, we're not out to try and make big money. But if we can cover our costs so that we can actually unlock the door the next day, then we'll split it with that company. Co-pros, co-production. So a group can come to me and say, hey, we really want to do this particular show, but we can't afford to do any of it, and you've got the infrastructure, so we can join our heads together and work that way. Does that make sense? Shared risk is another way of going, okay, well, if we lose, you lose too. I don't really like doing that, because I feel that we're funded. We are funded, so we should be helping. If we don't find a play that we like or that we've done, and we don't think we should bring it back, I don't think bringing back plays was a good idea. You've seen it. Would you go again? 10 years later? To realise it's dated? And it wasn't that funny? Excuse me. Then we have to write it ourselves, which is what Alison Quigan and Ross Gumbly did a lot. Or we produce it ourselves. And we're getting to a point now where we can only produce a certain amount ourselves, and we have to look at other options to be able to stay afloat. Because all of those costs, that's before the building's been paid for. I mean, building running costs, right? Because the trust actually owns that building now. But before the power's been paid, the insurance has been paid. Insurance is $20,000 plus a year, because we have to have public liability insurance. Before the rates have been paid, before the staff have been paid, all of that. But that's not all we do, right? We don't just put on plays. Did you know that? We have a really extensive outreach program, which I started about 5 years ago, going, we really need to give back more. We have basement youth workshops. So the Basement Company, have you heard of them? The Basement Company started in 2005, and it was two students from each of the high schools around, and they would meet once a month and do a workshop, and then they would put on a play at the end of the year. And they'd be learning lots of theatre skills through the year, and they became this cool little bunch of people. It evolved over time. Excuse me. I'm not sick, I'm a smoker. I know. It evolved over time, and it became once a week with classes. But what we realised last year, and they were doing two or three shows a year, what we realised last year is there's just too much. There's too much going on for young people. And we were dragging them to come along and do stuff. And we don't want to do that. We want people to want to be part of what we do. So what we're doing now is called the Basement Series Workshop. So once a month, we get the top people from the industry that we can find who come in, and they will do a one-day workshop with anybody who wants to, who's 15 to 17. Anybody, and it's free. We've got it funded. The first workshop we did was a props-making workshop with two people from Weta Workshop. I know! It was awesome! And it was so exciting. And you saw these young people coming in with neon signs above their head going, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't look at me. Because they were so nervous, but they were artists. And they'd be sitting in their little... We had parents saying to us, trying to explain and apologise for their children, going, they may not talk, they may not interact, because they just stay in their room and they Google things all the time, but they make amazing things. These kids, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, were singing together. It was amazing. So that was the first workshop, and then we had a puppet workshop.
It's not James, we have.
Take it back. Thank you. We had a puppet making workshop with people from String Bean Puppets who go all over the country. We've had an acting for camera and an audition workshop with two of the top casting agents in the country. These people have cast for all of the major movies. Here and Australia and America. So I wanted to do that workshop. It was awesome. And we've got a stunt workshop coming up. We've got, we're bringing back the Weta guys to do special effects makeup. There'll be some gory pictures. But these opportunities are what we want to offer. We want to be able to grab a young person and turn impossible into I'm possible. so that their dreams, they can see they can achieve them. What if those people who came into the camera workshop, the casting agents, what if in a couple of weeks or months or whatever time they say, hey, remember that kid from Pāmi? They'd be perfect in this. What if? We have an Improv for Everybody program which goes into schools here in Fielding that works with people who have got disabilities. We have a Pacifica Fun program which is just for Pacific Island students so that they can come in and start owning the space here, and it's an improv workshop so they're learning skills so that they can feel more confident. Improv isn't always about whose line is it anyway and being all funny and whatnot. Improv is giving you strategies to deal with situations where you're face to face with another person and you don't know what to say next. It's all about strategies. The games are strategies. It's confidence and it's owning your space. We have a big corporate entertainment side which is helpful to us. And we offer corporate training. So instead of doing a team building exercise where you're climbing ropes, or I can't stand it, I don't know how many of you will agree with me, but whenever I've gone into a team building workshop and I see post-it notes and highlighters, yep, I'm done. I have clocked out immediately. But when we had a, do you know Yorb, the computer business? They brought their people in to do a corporate training workshop with us. And I tell you, it was the quietest group of people coming in. Again, with those neon signs, don't look at me, don't look at me. And when they left, they were bubbly and chatty. And yeah, it was amazing. They sit in front of computers all day fixing people's problems. And then they had just a chance to play. And when you're on stage with another person, you rely on them. You need them. That's team building. Most of the time when I'm on stage with other people, I'm looking at them going, yeah, I've got nothing. I can't remember. Where are we? yes, we've got an online script writing course. So this all started in the lockdown, when we went, we need to do something, we need to do something. We were actually the first theatre in the country to put something out that employed other actors. So we did a 24-hour monologue challenge where we paired 10 writers that were like Sir Roger Hall with 10 different actors all over the country, and we gave the writers 12 hours to write a monologue to a theme. And then the next day we gave them to the actors and said, you've got 12 hours to learn this, rehearse it and film it, and then we're popping it up online. And we paid them. And then we made money out of the program because teachers started to get involved going, I need something for my students. This lockdown, we don't know what it is. I need something for my students. So we made money out of it and gave that money back to the artists. And then out of that grew an online script writing course where we now have 4 tutors and we have, I think, 16 participants. We have lots and lots and lots of applications and we whittle it down to 16 people who then work for 8 weeks with their writing mentor to deliver a piece of work at the end of that. Now, that work doesn't necessarily have to then go on and become a big play that hits Broadway. It's actually just about learning the skills. But what we do is we then audition people from the community, actors, and they come and rehearse for 1 day, so it's pretty low commitment, with a professional director. They rehearse that play or that piece of writing, and then they put on a rehearsed reading that night, and that's called our Sunday script sessions. That's an opportunity really for writers to see their work up on stage, you know, up on its feet, which doesn't normally get to happen unless somebody pours a whole lot of money into it. And also a chance for community actors to work with a professional director for a day and see what skills they can grab off them. So that's the SSS, the Sunday Script Sessions. We also run a massive high school theatre sports high school theatre competition. It's actually a high school theatre sports competition where there's 14, I think, schools involved in that, and we want to turn that national. So we do a lot, and of course you'll see where they're free. Basement series workshops free, improv for everybody free. It's free for the participants. We get it funded so we can pay our tutors. Pacific Fund free. The adult improv. Oh, did I mention that? No. We have an adult improv course that runs for 8 weeks, twice a year, which you're very welcome to apply for. That does have a fee. The corporate entertainment, of course, we charge. And the corporate training, we hopefully we get money in, which is income generating to pay the trainers and pay the actors who are involved in that. And there's a very small fee for the high school theatre sports, which basically just covers petrol. Are you with me? Am I boring?
No.
Very good answer. Oh, that's just a pretty picture of one of our students. That's at a high school theatre sports competition. So where are we going next? What are our plans? What do we want to do?
Renew the roof.
Renew the roof. Absolutely. We have been planning a rebuild for about, I think the last plans before the ones we've got now were in 2010. And every time we go to attack it, we go too hard. This is too hard. But we're actually at the point now where we have to, because my office is literally a storeroom. It's a cupboard, and I share it with my business manager. There's no window. Oh, poor me. It's not just that. The roof is leaking. And our... I think I've got this. This is our rehearsal room, which is really tidy at the moment. So we hold workshops and we rehearse in here. It's freezing. Oh, I did need my thingy. That's asbestos.
No.
These we painted after we cleaned them because they were black and it was mould. This is our glamorous dressing room. This is the flash one. It's separating from the other dressing room by a shower. You get to know each other pretty well. See, this is the other side. There's the shower. This is where we put our flash actors. It's cold. So we need to address some parts of the building. And what we're going to do is we're going to be really responsible about it. We looked at trying to do the whole place. We looked at bowling the place that we've got and starting again. We looked at trying to find another place that we could go into and turn into a theatre. And it all, again, just got a bit too hard. And then I said, well, hang on, why don't we do this in stages? We really need to redo the foyer. Do you know when you come into the foyer and there's nowhere to sit? It's tiny. It's cramped. We can't hold functions in there. So we're going to redo the foyer and the office areas. We're going to build out. We're going to take down an ugly tree out the front. Sorry. Oh, we have a rabbit too. Did you know that? There's a rabbit that's decided to own our grass area. It's been there for 5 months. How long do rabbits live? Things I should know. We're going to redo that entire front area so that we've got space. And it could be income generating. We're going to leave the theatre itself alone, much to my... there's things we need to do in there, but we're going to wait. That's going to be stage two. And we're going to redo that back area so that the shower has a door. And it's in separate dressing rooms. And then we can have a production office out there, and we're going to get rid of the asbestos and replace the roof. So there's things like that we want to do. But what we really want to do, when people say to me, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? What's your 20-year plan? To stay open. That's our plan. So that we can keep connecting the industry with our emerging people, so that we can keep offering opportunities where people can have social interaction. That's really what the theatre is about, isn't it? It's going to see something and be entertained, but with other people. Because you need people. We need each other. I'll never forget this two stories I've got here. I'll try and make them short. No, I won't. There was a lady who came to me after a comedy, and I'd been on stage, and she made a beeline for me in the foyer, and she was distraught. She was crying. And I was thinking, well, this isn't good. This was a comedy. And she came straight up to me and she grabbed me and she said, what did she say? She said, my husband hasn't laughed in 5 years. My husband was on the floor rolling with laughter in this. They had a family tragedy that had happened and he hadn't laughed for 5 years. And they came and saw this. And she was like, he changed. I thought I was losing him. And that's why she was so upset, because life started to happen again for her. And I keep thinking about that and keep thinking, well, no, we're not an essential service. Or are we? We may not directly save lives, but that doesn't mean we're not life-saving. Can you imagine what it's like? This is theatre here. Can you imagine what life would be like without art? What would you be wearing? That's art. Especially this. There was another story I had. Oh, yes. I'll never forget again. Sitting in the audience in a show where it looked like it was taking a really bad turn and things were going to just be awful. It was going to end up tragic. And it didn't. The play it changed. Something happened and it changed. And the entire audience all gasped at the same time. And then they started giggling because they'd all shared that same emotion at the same time. And that sort of thing, I can't match that anywhere else. I mean, I worked at BP and that was pretty good money. But I can't match that anywhere else. And so I'm constantly, we're putting in applications for funding left, right and centre all the time. And it feels like you've just done a major one and you have to start again. And there's always a fire to put out and there's always something that is a challenge. But good. Because it makes people happy. I'm going to stop there. And I want to thank you for listening to me for so long, because I get sick of the sound of my own voice. Thank you. Yeah.